Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700.
2 minute drill time here on the Bill Riley Show. We'll talk a little basketball with Josh coming up. Start things off with some RSL. RSL on the road at Columbus tomorrow. The Columbus Crew aren't very good right now. RSL got 3 big points on the road in Kansas City. Chris Camerani joins us. He's the beat writer, covers the boys from RSL from the Salt Lake Tribune. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hey, Bill, TGIF.
Thank goodness it's Friday. It's great to have you on here. Big trip back east for the guys. How big do you think that 3 points in Kansas City was last week, especially getting off to the start they did?
Yeah, no, it was huge. I think when you had me on last week, you asked how I thought they'd fare. And to be honest with you, I said that they were going to have a tough time in Kansas City. But for them to come out and play the game that they did there, I think it bodes well for them going into the rest of this road trip, especially considering you're looking at a Crew team that's pretty decimated with injuries and drama in the locker room, and then looking at NYCFC coming off a historic touchdown against the Red Bulls.
So they'll go into Columbus, and they'll go into Columbus relatively healthy. This Columbus Crew team is kind of a bit of a mess this year, especially with the recent trade of Kai Kamara. RSL hasn't historically played very well in Columbus, have they?
No, I mean, I think their best two results there were CONCACAF back in the day.
Exactly.
And then
in the playoffs.
The Eastern Conference Finals, yeah. So technically the regular season has not been kind to RSL when it comes to visiting. I believe they're calling it Mafre Stadium now, is that right?
I believe that's it. It's always going to be Crew Stadium to me.
Crew Stadium, exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, it hasn't been an easy place for them to go play. But, you know, as you mentioned, no Kai Kamara. They lose 2 starters in Mbwati and Awful with the national team duty. The back line is in shambles. They just lost their high-profile center back to a torn meniscus for 4 months. So if you look at it on paper, this is a game that RSL should definitely get a point, if not 3.
Last thing, all the talk in the offseason was, who's Craig Weibel going to bring in to play center back? Who's going to be the international center back? Well, he whiffed on 3 guys. I know they're still trying. But for the time being, do you think the Glad-Mon combination is good enough for now?
It's tough. I think we'd like to see how they get tested throughout the summer months if RSL's down a few other guys. At full strength, I think you can make the case for Glad and Mon going forward, but it's a different scenario, as you know, if guys start dropping left and right due to national team duty, injuries, suspensions, what have you. I still think, in my opinion, they need to make a move to fortify that spot. But I think if you went back to the beginning of 2015 when they were 5 and 6 on the depth chart to now, and with the way they're playing, I think RSL would take it, no doubt.
See you soon, my friend. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
There you go. Chris Camerani from the Salt Lake Tribune does a great job. Had a nice, real nice profile on Justin Glad the other day at sltrib.com. Michael Scotto, he covers the National Basketball Association for SheridanHoops.com and also the Associated Press. A little draft conversation here. Michael, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. We had our guy Jakob Poeltl, former Utah guy, on with us yesterday. He's out in L.A. doing some workouts there. Most of the mocks right now don't seem to have him dropping any further than number 10 to the Bucks. Is that kind of your feel, too, that he may not go early in the draft, but he probably won't get past the Bucks at number 10?
I think that's certainly a valid range. When you look at the year that Poeltl had when he came back to school for Utah, he certainly helped his stock. And last year, he was considered a borderline lottery pick. And at this point, I spoke to some executives who have picks within that top 10 in the lottery this year. And some of them told me they would take him over Scalabissier at Kentucky, who's another guy that is going to be vying for that same type of positioning within the top 10. So I certainly think that's a fair estimate of where his draft value is. One of the few true centers in this draft class, with his size over 7 feet, can score around the basket. The biggest thing that he's going to need to show in workouts to help solidify that position is probably just to make some elbow jumpers around the perimeter and show that he can expand his game a little bit.
Simmons, Ingram, Simmons. Have you gotten any sort of a definitive feel where they're going to go at the top 2?
I wouldn't say definitive because it's still early in the draft process, but there definitely is somewhat of an inclination that Philly is leaning towards Ben Simmons, and that would leave Brandon Ingram falling to number two with the Lakers, which ironically would be a better fit for the Lakers, I think, on one hand, because then Ingram can slide into the small forward position with an already incredibly talented young group that they have there that's only going to get better as the years go. When you're Philadelphia at this point, it's all about taking the best player in the draft, and they can move guys such as Nerlens Noel, Jahlil Okafor to make it fit once Ben Simmons comes there. They also have Dario Saric. You can't trade Joel Embiid because his value is so low because he hasn't played. So you have to bank on him coming back and giving him a chance. So that would be quite an interesting pairing with Ben Simmons in that regard because he can do so many things with the basketball, especially if you put him in a point forward sort of role where he showed at LSU his passing ability is his top trait that translates into the NBA game. And I think his athleticism will bode well in the NBA more so than it did in college with a smaller paint and, you know, because of the three-point line being smaller. So I think as of now, they are leaning Simmons. It's still early, though, in the process, and you never know. A team can make a Godfather-type offer for one of those picks, and it could the teams could be persuaded to make a trade. So it's still early, but as of now, Simmons is going one.
Draft insider Michael Scotto, Sheridan Hoops in the Associated Press. Follow him on Twitter, Mike A. Scotto. Thanks, Michael.
My pleasure.
There you go. That's the 2-Minute Drill brought to you by Alta Mortgage Financial.